We're honored to have Rabbi Stephen Przanski, Rav of Bnei Shurun and Tinak, if I'm correct. And I'm sure a lot more than that. He learned in Gatzmicha under Rav Yisrael Chait, which his brother is on the Rashi Yeshiva here. And I've heard a couple of, actually randomly, on YU, through different, I've heard some shirim, and I was always happy and interested to hear the shirim.
We're all right.
Honored to have you.
Thank you. Hi, good evening. Thank you for coming. I want to discuss an area tonight that the truth is I'd rather not discuss. It's almost embarrassing to have to talk about it. You know, in America now, things are polarized. I've been here for a while, but I'm sure you heard Donald Trump became the president. You aware of that? The news filtered through? Right. So, it's very polarized, and people have become at loggerheads, very critical of each other. In the Jewish world, laws of Lashon Hara seem to have fallen by the wayside. It's like a mace mitzvah now. No one even reckons with it. If there's a particular target you don't like, then anything goes. Well, the inauguration presented an issue that I'm embarrassed to say became public, but nonetheless is worth addressing. I'll tell you why in a moment. You may have heard that Jared and Yael Kushner, Yael Kushner, of course, Ivanka Trump, the president's daughter, attended the inaugural ball, one of the balls, and then got a heter to ride home from the ball on Friday night. It was Shabbos. And that unleashed a storm in America, even filtered here also. In fact, I'll let you know later, the problem started here and not in America, but a storm, anger, mockery, meanness. Generally, the political left has been vicious. The religious right hasn't been vicious, but they've become yentas, inserting themselves into people's personal avodas Hashem, and then judging each indicator, each action, right, wrong, good, bad, as if we're supposed to be sitting in judgment of everyone else. So say at the outset, I've never met either of them. I admire both of them. It's a difficult road that they have, and I think they've handled themselves beautifully. There's a tremendous and despicable amount of Inui Hager taking place from people who consider themselves to be ethicists and sensitive people. Inui Hager is completely forgotten about as well. They're harassed consistently by secular people, not always Jews. I mean, it's reached the stage that they hosted a Shabbos dinner last Friday night for members of the cabinet, and every time he opened the door, the people in the streets taking pictures. So they can't leave their home, they can't walk the shul, they can't have normal lives. Now, to a certain extent, that always happens to the president's family. But when you're religious Jews, it poses an even more exponentially greater problem, and the intrusiveness really affects their lives as well. And too many religious people are involved in this type of gamesmanship also. I hate to say it, but some Jews can be very brutal and very intolerant of other Jews. So I want to say I admire them, I respect them, I wish people would just leave them alone, and therefore I'm embarrassed to discuss the issue tonight, except for one factor. It's interesting. Pose an interesting halachic question. Given the circumstances, apparently they asked the Shiloh, I don't know who they asked, and they got a response that it's mutter for them to ride home in a car from the inaugural ball to the place where they live. I'll tell you the outset, and then we can discuss and argue, and we'll go through the sources, that I don't think the heter was unreasonable. All right, with one caveat, as we'll see, I don't know who they asked, but I don't think it was unreasonable. That being said, let me hand out the source sheet. Let me take this. And we have to understand a number of questions that need to be answered. Firstly, what's the issur of riding in a car on Shabbos? What is the issur? What is the status of a car on Shabbos? What is the status of a passenger on Shabbos on any type of conveyance, whether it's a boat, a train, an elevator, a bus, etc.? Those are the specific issues we'll look at. There are some general issues as well. The most general one is one that really affects life in Israel, and I think maybe in America as well. To what extent does the importance of discretionary acts play a role on Shabbos? Meaning things that you don't really have to do, you're not mandated to do, but nonetheless might and sometimes do result in the potential for Chil Shabbos. The question in Israel is a profound one, because here we have the interplay of running a modern state and Shabbos as well. So I'll give you just something to think about, won't go into many issues about it, but a friend of mine is the chief rabbi of the Israeli police force. And we're talking about some of the issues. You know, the army is almost settled. Why that is a different question, because it's almost the same issue. But think about it. Let's say everyone in the country is Jewish. Halavai, everyone's from the Shomer Shabbos, all right? How can you be a... I guess not everybody, but let's say most people are. You can't say, I'm not going to work because I'm Shomer Shabbos, because let's say everyone's Shomer Shabbos on the police force. Should a police officer on Shabbos stop someone who went through a red light? Give them a ticket. Is it Pikuach Nefesh? Do you stop a speeder? Is it Pikuach Nefesh? I have to tell you, we discussed these issues, and he said to me, there's really no clear answer. They can't give guidance. On the one hand, it's not really Pikuach Nefesh, Misafek. Maybe something will happen as a result. Guy goes to a stop sign, nobody wants to say, no one is in the vicinity. It's not Pikuach Nefesh. And if an officer to stop him and write a ticket, he says, Mechal Shabbos Daraisa. Is such a thing warranted? It's not easy to answer the question. Understood that if you would just say no, then basically you've allowed anyone who wants to ride the roads on Shabbos free rein to drive recklessly. Yes?
So they didn't have cars, but what would they have done when Halacha did rule, when it was David HaMelech was...
It's same issue. So let's start with understanding what is the status of a car. Well, let's go in historical order, chronologically. We start with an animal, and then we progress to a wagon. And there we stood a good, 56 centuries, until the train was developed in the mid-19th century. And train, bus, car, plane, spaceship. Of all of them, the first one poses a great issue, which is, of course, mechamer. You're not allowed to move an animal on Shabbos. You're not allowed to have a benefit. There's a din of shvis of an animal also, so you can't have an animal pull you. So a person is sitting in a wagon, and the wagon is being pulled by an animal, so that already is a din of chil Shabbos. But let's bring it more into our day. Our day, meaning almost two centuries ago now, when the diesel train began. And it was a very, very much litigated issue in halacha. Can a Jew ride a train, a passenger train, on Shabbos? Issue is still heard from time to time on subways in major metropolitan areas. I remember once I was asked if someone was in Scandinavia for months and the university was not near any shul, wanted to go to shul Rosh Hashanah, could they just take the metro? All right, you get on, you get off, and let's assume for a moment you have to carry anything. Can you do that? This is not a new question. This actually goes back to the mid-19th century. So look at number one, the Chassam Sofer, in Chelek Vav of his Likutim, in his Shas and Tshuvos. So the Chassam Sofer ruled out a number of issues on a train, all right? He ruled out a number of things. And again, even before the train, you had the Sfina, the boat, but he quotes the Balamor, Rabbi Nizrachi Levi, and the main issue of a train, as with a boat, I'm sorry, the main issue of a boat was twofold. Tchum, the Tchum is only a kilometer from the place where Yeshova is before Shabbos. You can't travel more than a kilometer. And Onik Shabbos, because adapting to being at sea is not always easy for everyone. Tchum, by and large, was rejected as a problem. So the Balmor rejects it. Because the halacha is that anything over 10 tfachim has no din of tchum. So boat will always be, the mokum yishiv in a boat, unless it's a rowboat, but any passenger boat is always over 10 tvachim. Onik Shabbos is not such an issue either. So the Balamor had only one issue with a boat, and some sofer says by extension, it applies to a train as well, and that is, the kama pomim mistakne misfino utrichin l'chal Shabbos bishum pikuach nefesh. You're on a boat, situation can arise that's dangerous, and you'll be forced into violating Shabbos in order to save yourself. So the Balamor said you can't put yourself in a situation of potential sakana 3 days before Shabbos. All right, we have the same thing with surgery. Try to move it early in the week, not late in the week. So Chassam Sofer says, from the perspective of the Balamor, that's the issue. The issue is sakana, not to put yourself in a position where there'll be sakana. What's not an issue? Being a passenger. What's wrong with being a passenger? Lechora? Nothing, you're not doing anything. All right, we'll see. Some want to say that your added weight causes a greater expenditure of fuel or diesel, etc., but that doesn't seem to be a problem in our day. So he says, skip down a few lines, Hayotzim, and by the assumption is it's all being driven by non-Jews. Hayotzim idvarenu eilu ladino b'inyan eglas agolas kitur, it's a smoke engine, or smoke wagon, meaning a train. Heim agolas ha'hochma de kitur hine leisbu lo mishum mishamish b'vachai. There's no din of mishamish with an animal. There's no din of nachridu malach, he's doing it for himself. Most people are non-Jews who are riding. There's no din of tchum, all right? So according to this, there's really no din at all, except in the according to the Balamor, if it's inherently a situation of safek sakana. But the truth is, some sofer realize, trains are not in that category, so therefore it would not apply. Now, the Teferes Yisrael, also 19th century, early 19th century, deals with a ship as well. And he says the only issue is Onik Shabbos. Again, you have to adapt. If you've ever been on a boat for a few days, so the first day or two, it's a little rocky. So the Teferes Yisrael writes in the Kalkela Shabbos that one can even board a ship on Shabbos as long as you're Kona Shvisa Me'erev Shabbos, and it's a regular route, and it's run by non-Jews, etc. It's not ideal, but because it could be a tchum issue if you're really hooked up to the shore. But nonetheless, he said, if there's no tchum issue, it's mutter even to board. So clearly then, being a passenger on a ship or a train is not going to be an issue on Shabbos. Yes?
How do you get a tchum issue in that case?
Let's say, okay, so I happen to have done it. Not, I've never been on Shabbos, though, but the passenger ships today, the gangplank is raised enough that the ship, the base of the ship, is always 10 tefachim above the surface of the water. It can't be any other way. So then once you're on there, and you're kona shvisa from before Shabbos, then once that happens, whatever happens afterwards is l'mala mi asar tefachim, l'mala min atchum. Now the Beis Yitzchak disagrees, and he said that a train is asur, and he just made an analogy from a train to mishtamish b'behema as well. And he raised other issues too. Kibui, masa, you're adding a burden to the trains. It's going to burn more fuel. And he raised more general issues of uvdin d'chol, right? We don't do on Shabbos what we do during the week. Shabbos has to be a different day, as well as zilzul Shabbos, the Beis Yitzchak said. Certain aspect of Shabbos, it has to be honored, it has to be respected in a way that is different. But that's a minority opinion. If you look at the next source, number two, the Melamed Laho is David Zvi Hoffman, Rashiv in Berlin at the turn of the last century. So he was asked this question. It was a Bachur, he names him Yelid Rusya. that he had not been home for several years. He's Novanod, learning elsewhere. He wanted to go home, but to get from where he was to his city, his town, Zadon, was a train ride of 7 days. Painful. Train ride of 7 days, but then is muchach to be on the train on Shabbos. Can he do it? So Rav Hoffman discusses the various areas here. The question himself had written a number of tzedodim lehakel, and he said a train poses a greater issue of tchum than a ship does, but nonetheless, here we'll say tchumim ad-rabbanon, and it's the dvar mitzvah to go be mechabed his parents. So he said, and to, I guess, to see his family as well, and therefore, it's all considered dvar mitzvah, not a tiyul. And he says that Zdodei Heter are compelling, and he has other reasons as well why it should be permitted also. And he added other reasons of his own regarding how the Chassam Sofer understood it, that only if a person would be on the train for the entire Shabbos, then is no, or he's traveling for business, the whole Shabbos, then he's not Shoves Begufo, in which case it's not proper. But he said that it's mutter for this young man to go home. Look at the Mishpatei Uziel. He's already talking about electric trains, not diesel or fuel-based trains. Number three, Mishpatei Uziel, of course, our Merit Ben Zion Chai Uziel is the chief rabbi, the Sephardi chief rabbi here, about a half century ago. He says you can't drive in these wagons or trains, it means buses or trains or even cars, if the drivers are Jews, all right? Or if the route is one which passes into a Jewish yeshuv as well. But if not, then you don't have to pay for the trip either. But if not, if it's a L'shem Hiluch Shel Mitzvah, like to go to shul, and not l'shem tiyul or tzorech mischari, then it would be mutter as well. One would be allowed to do it. So you see, one issue never addressed, because it doesn't present itself as an issue, is to be a passenger on any of these conveyances. Which brings us to the next question, is what exactly is the status of an automobile on Shabbos? Well, we all know, I mean, you can't, no one rides a car on Shabbos, in an ordinary sense, all right? Yes?
Why can't we just infer, at least from the first source, that it would be okay because you're not, there's no Chol Shabbos issue, not being the cook, not
there is.
There is. What is it?
You know, if you consider electricity to be one.
You mean on a train?
Oh, we're talking train or car.
Whatever.
Sphina.
Boat, okay.
Well, let's just...
Right.
Why can't you just...
No. Oh, the only issue is owning Shabbos. You can't put yourself in a situation where you'll be ill or nauseous before Shabbos. Like, you can't put yourself in a situation of suffix sakana either. Lest you... In other words, the point that Chassam Sofer made, and others before, the Balamor, is that you cannot put yourself in a situation on Shabbos whereby it might result in having to be Mechal Shabbos. Not that it's far-fetched, but it's realistic. It might eventuate in the need for Chil Shabbos. That you can't do, all right? But it's hard to say again. I mean, today, Meisim B'chol Yom, there are trains that derail and planes that crash and, you know, buses that flip over. It's all true, but it's very rare. Very rare. Yes?
Is there a problem with Maris Ayin for, like, a car?
Oh, all right, let's see. So what exactly is the halachic status of a car on Shabbos? So turn the page. Look at number 11. I'm sorry, look at number 10. The Divrei Yitziv is the Kleisenberger Rebbe. It's an Or Chaim Siman Kuf Nun Aleph. Al Das HaShela B'Tiltol Oita B'Shabbos. Oita was an Oita. Hine Mashakas to have Mukta Machmas Isser. All right, he subscribes that's Mukta Machmas Isser, because the only possible use is for something forbidden. So you could be matir its use if you need the thing for itself, you need its place. So according to that view, it would be proper, but since cars are very valuable, and people are makpid not to use a car for anything, except when they're traveling in it, meaning since most people only use a car as a mode of transportation and it's something that's valuable, heavy muktza machmas chesron kis, kisakan amayuchad l'shchito. Muktza machmas chesron kis means something that is off limits on Shabbos because of its value. You'd never use it for something else. So klisha malachta l'isser, like a pen, for example, in theory you can use as a bookmark, but you're not going to use a yasakan shel shchita as a bookmark, lest you nick it and you're pogame the it'll probably tear the pages also, whatever. But you wouldn't use it. Anything which is mukta machmas chesron kis means that you would never use it for something else. So he says, that's a car. If that's a car, hu adinami benidon didon, kevchen arotza lahania mimkoma el yaday hamonosh is also b'shabbos. The only way to move a car is with the motor. That you can't do. Lo yitachen tinu asa b'shabbos el yaday dechifa b'day odom shezem afsido makbenala. No one's going to move a car on Shabbos by pushing it. So therefore, it's mukta machmas chesron kis, and you could have no use of a car on Shabbos. That is the Kleisenberger. You can't handle it at all. Yes.
Could you designate it prior to Shabbos?
So he would say no, because, like, let's say you boarded it with boulders and made it the Mokum Yeshiva, he would say no, because that's not its primary use, all right? Its primary use means something that you would not use for something else because of its value. But you're correct. He has a minority opinion, because the fact is, not only can you disable a car, close it off so it's no longer a mode of transportation, but it has other uses. But there are other uses. In addition, there are other uses that are actually quite common for an automobile that the Kleisenberger did not reference. From his conception, a car stand. But how do we see a car? You buy it. It's expensive. It's new. You keep it. You don't want it nicked, the scratch, you shine it, and it's used for one reason. Take it from place to place. But there are other uses. So Reb Moshe and many of the Acharonim in the last century dealt with this Shaila, number 9, right above. It's Chelek Hever Achayim, Siman Chof Aleph, Sifkat and Yud Aleph. Im Mutal Leftach Delz Mechonis B'Shabbos. Are you allowed to open a door, car door, on Shabbos? Now the understanding is the lights won't go on. Let's say that's disabled. Can you open a car door on Shabbos? So Reb Moshe said, "V'hine nira demeleka maris ayin. If there's no maris ayin, maybe people won't think you're performing a maisei iser. Muta leftach delas mechonisu lahotzi misham dvar shetzarech. You're allowed to open the door of a car and to take out what you need, as long as the light doesn't go on. You can close the door as well. A car essentially is not mukza. What's mukza about a car? The manoa, the engine. The engine is mukza in a car, not the car itself. Why? Because a car has two other functions. One, a place of storage. I happen to know people who had their office in their car. All right? They worked out of their car. The car wasn't moving when they worked out of it. They just kept their documents there, had their phone there, whatever they needed, their records, their ledgers, and that's how they conducted their business. A car has another use as well. Classic use. What's that? It's a makom yeshiva. It's a place to sit. You can sit in the front seat, the passenger seat, the back seat. You can lie down. You can sleep. It's defined. I mean, there are seats there. It's just defined as a place you could sit as well. So Reb Moshe says that a car essentially is not mukza. When the car is parking or driving, people leave things in there all the time. It's in your driveway, in your garage. It's a place where you could store things as well. Many people do this as well. According to this, even if there are people who be astonished sometimes, they see a Jew opening a car door on Shabbos, ain't less of a makom shel yiru. You should not prohibit it in a place where they won't see. And it's not like the regular din of Maris Ayin. Mishum de'ein, what's the din of Maris Ayin? Afilu b'chad v'chadar mitzasur. Something which is forbidden. Because of Maris Ayin, even in your innermost chamber, where people can't see you by definition, it's still going to be usur. Here we don't apply that klal here. Mishum shein les or mamish bazein les or mamish bazeh. Because it's not really, it doesn't lend itself to this type of iser. Yada yedidi asher iser marisainu rak bedavar shenase zeberov apamim baofan o asur vuosa zebaofan a mutur. He said marisain only applies where what the act that you're doing is almost always going to be a forbidden act. All right, and it's hard to conjure. It would be a permissible act. But this is different because people go in and out of their car to retrieve items without necessarily being usur. I mentioned one aside, not to go too far off track, but I spoke about this last month elsewhere. What's the difference between Maris Ayin on the one hand and Don Lukav Schus on the other hand? They seem to be at loggerheads with each other. And as one would seem to be superfluous. If we say Maris Ayin, don't do an act that arouses the suspicion of others of the thing you're doing a mice iser, then it stands by itself. But yet we're also told that you can't be choshed someone. Don lekav schus. Even the Gemara says in Shabbos taf chosayim at beis. Even if the explanations are far fetched, nonetheless you have to ascribe good motivation to the individual. So in fact, if there's a chiv don lekav schus, then marisayin is superfluous. On the other hand, if Maris Ayin is the Isser, then Don Lekav is not saying anything. So how do those two coexist? And what's the pshat? Why would something also, because of Maris Ayin, how it looks to the eye, be forbidden, afilu b'chadrei chadarim? If in the room, inside the room, by definition, no one can see it, what's the Maris Ayin there? You want to say something? Yeah.
Because the chiyuv to of Maris Ayin and
Don Lekav Schus,
right? It's more it's in the person who has to do it.
Okay.
So it's not about how you're supposed to expect other people to act. It's how you're supposed to act. So when you relate to others, you have to have Don Lekav Schus, and you have to be careful about what they're going to think. You can't. It doesn't mean that all because they have that chiyuv too that you can assume that's what they're going to do.
Okay, it's a mutual chiyuv. I had a simpler definition. Don lekav schus is a dimen on lechavero. It's between me and the other person, so you're obligated to judge others favorably. Marisayin is a dimen on lemakom. All right? It's a zilzul kvod shemaim if a person does actions that appear to others to be asur. And that's why I feel b'chadrei chadarim it's asur, because the zilzul kvod shemayim, doing something that appears to be asur in a permissible way, is going to be asur regardless of whether people can see it or not. That's the din. That's why the pasuk says of Maris Ayin, umtzachem v'secho tov ein elokim v'adam, v'yisim nekim Hashem v'Yisrael. God comes first, because zilzul kvod shemayim, at its core, it's a din in the benam l'makam, not benam l'chavero. All right, different issue. So from Rav Moshe, you see in any event that there's no Isser opening the door. It's not the car. It's not Mukta. The motor is Mukta, but a car is a place of yeshiva as well. You look first here at number 7, Shmuel Shabbos Kochoso. It's the same idea based on Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, number 7. Mutar leftach del shel mechonis im lo nidlekes nur psichas adelas. You're allowed to open a car door if the light doesn't go on. Kedei lahotz menachonis chayfetz, when there's an eruv and the chayfetz is mutar betiltul. Okay, va'af mutar l'sheves po. You can even sit in a car. Ach nochon limana milasos kein mikevon shebeinei habrios hadava nechshav leisur v'tov l'srachek minachshad. But he said it's mutar to do. It's mutter to retrieve an item. It's mutter to sit in a car. But it's best to refrain because people just assume that it's asur for the most cogent reasons, and you want to avoid chshad. Yes.
Is this even if you didn't designate it at all? You
get some. Yes. Correct. You don't have to designate your car as available for Shabbos use because inherently it's available for Shabbos use as a mukam yeshiva. and a makom of storage. It's always available to that, because that's some of its uses as well. Number six, the Pischei Tshuvos didn't come out that clear, but he says again, Ule'inya mechonis rechev me'ikar adin dino keklisha melachto le'iser. That's what Shlomo Zalman's opinion as well. It's a klisha melachto le'iser, meaning it's something that its primary use might be for something prohibited, but it has ancillary uses that are permitted. You could sit in it, you could rest in it. To take something out, but you should refrain, if possible, because it gives rise to chshad. Now, notice something that's interesting about all this as well. That's an interesting sociological dimension. The big leniency that the conservative movement published in the mid-1950s, which really destroyed the movement in retrospect, was permitting people to ride to temple on Shabbos. All right, the suburbs, they didn't live there. They said it permit person to ride. No, they didn't say you could drive, but they said you could ride. Well, that within a minute or two became a distinction without a difference, because people didn't understand, if you could ride, why can't you drive? They didn't make the halachic calculations. So that's why in America and elsewhere, the notion of riding in a car just seems so foreign on Shabbos, even though it happens pretty frequently, if you think about it, between doctors and military people and police officers, etc. Nonetheless, it is frowned upon, and it's difficult to accept as well. I'll just add, for the sake of completeness, that the Pischei Tshuvos elsewhere, number 11, says that even though he says it's a klisha malachto le'iser, he's not completely persuaded. He quotes a Sharm Amitzuma Halacha, Shem Mano Mechonis Batal Gufa Mechonis. He says it's not like a wagon, because a wagon can stop, can be detached from the animal, and can't go anywhere. But as long as there's an engine in the car, so that's its primary purpose. You're going to use it mainly for transportation. So he said, he concludes, nonetheless, it's a klisha melachto le'iser in any event, even though the shelet shel mechonis b'li manoa ein la shumish tamshus v'hika even she'ein la ofchin. Even if you just take an automobile without an engine, it's a shell and it has no use at all. It's like a stone that cannot be turned. It's a rock. It's a boulder. It's useless. I'm not so sure he's correct, because you see from the others that it has uses. People sit in a car. People sleep in a car. People store. Oh, homeless sleep in a car. People store things in cars as well. I should mention one other point. Yes?
Well, if you're going to say that, then you could also say by a rock that you'd be used as a paperweight.
Yes, a rock is muktza machmas iser. You could use a rock as a paperweight only if you designated such before Shabbos. You could. You say, this is my Shabbos rock, all right? Had it in the first stones in Mejar. They set him aside before Shabbos. For Shabbos use.
And then you right. Only use the car.
Issue of Chabola is a different issue, but what's that?
Then you can only use the car as a furniture.
No, because the car is different. It's not Muktzah Machmas Isser. It's a Klisha Malachtel Isser. It's totally different. Muktzah Machmas Isser means it has no Shabbos use in the ordinary sense. But you could turn it into a Shabbos use by designating it as such. I mentioned one other point. That's the Magen Avraham. So when we speak of Muktzah, you know, the Hamon thinks you can't touch a muktzah, but that's not true. Tiltal means to handle a muktzah. That is to say, moving the object. You can't move an object. So Magen Avraham writes, Lekulo, that tiltal min atzad, which is permissible, is any time you move something without your hands. Because the classic tiltal for human beings is using our hands for it. So even though you could sit in a car and move the car, that you don't move it much, but it does move. We even open the door, and the car could move a little. That's not considered... Well, actually, if you move the... No, it's different. Sitting would be the issue. Because when you're sitting, you're not using your hands. And therefore, to sit down in a car, have the car move, it's not going to be a factor at all. I want to discuss the issue of Zilzul Shabbos, because it's a big issue. Shabbos is a special day. Shabbos has to be observed in a different way than the other days of the week. It has to be defined as different and practiced different. That's the din of uvd d'chol as well. You should not do things during the week, weekday activities. I always tell the young people in shul, the kids, especially before and after bar mitzvah, make a distinction. But I always tell them, I'm sure you're beyond this also, but about playing ball on Shabbos. I say, if you play ball on Shabbos and you play ball on Sunday, so what's the difference between Shabbos and Sunday? And that can't be. You can't have activities that are the same on Shabbos on Sunday that are essentially chol activities. At Talmud Torah, of course you could do. But chol activities, if you do them both days, then you haven't distinguished Shabbos at all. That's the din of uvdin d'chol of zilzul Shabbos. So to what extent, you're not going to permit Yisur d'Oraisa, but to what extent can you permit Yisur d'Rabbanon for the performance of optional acts? Or is that considered zilzul Shabbos? Yes.
So how far does that go to? In other words,
that's what I want to discuss.
Well, no, I'm saying like you drink water on Shabbos.
No, it's achil ashti, because part of Shabbos is onik Shabbos, achil ashti, it's not an issue. It would be something defined as a whole activity, all right? Like, for example, see, the Shulchan Aruch has a list of literature you wouldn't read on Shabbos, all right? Not for Shabbos. Ah, something you can't read during the week either. But certain things are just not for Shabbos, not for Shabbos. I never studied on Shabbos, even when I was in college, I always learned. Even law school, even before the bar, I took the bar exam. A lot of my colleagues are freaking out. I never study anything chol on Shabbos. Shabbos, yes.
No, I was just going to say, like, what if you're like pacing or going to some place to like look at?
You're allowed to walk. Teal is permissible on Shabbos, right? You can't do it for business. You know, you can't walk to see a field that you might want to buy, but you could walk to see a nice sight on Shabbos, to a park. That's also part of owning Shabbos. So you see, the chol is there is a subjectivity to it, but. There is a definition as well. It's something that you would do during the week because the weekday activity that is not enhancing Shabbos at all. You're not doing it to enhance Shabbos, which like a teal would, but you're doing it because you like doing it during the week. That's really uvda d'chol. But getting back to the optional act, and you'll see a very, very delicate, nuanced area here. I'll quote one tshuva. This is in the Shomer HaMitzvah Halacha. Quotes the Maharash. Because you have this now many places in, it's not on the sheet, you have this many places in Europe, for example. Europe, when you want to enter a shul, unless you've prepared in advance and let them know you're coming and they could check you off, you have to carry a passport or identification, all right? It's easy now than it was in the past, certainly 50, 100 years ago when the tshuva was written, but nonetheless, can a person carry a passport or an identity card? Let's say you had countries like Russia, for example, or some of the Eastern European countries. You always had to have an identity card on you, all right? What's the problem? Shabbos. How do you carry? All right? Oh, so let's say you carry kilachar yad in a way that's only Oster Rabbanim. Yeah, okay. Wonderful. Except for the fact that, why do you have to leave? In other words, why not just stay home and not put yourself in a position of having to carry an identity card on Shabbos? Don't go out. It's not necessary. Well, this guy wants to go to shul. See, the Marash writes that for tefillah b'tzibur, it's mutter completely. L'tzarch mitzvah, it's mutter completely. Because we don't force people to remain home and daven b'yichidus. And in fact, the Marash wrote, it's not even necessary to carry kilach hayad as long as it's a karmelis and not a rishus haram d'oraisa. We don't force people to carry kilach hayad because that's not what the halacha had in mind. You have to think about the implications of that in modern life as well. Where do you draw the line? And I'll give you some very interesting situations that are very practical. Turn back to the first page. And you see a very practical one. It's a tshuva of Aviner, Avtachat Noar b'Poland b'Shabbat. I said many groups from Israel, youth groups, go to Poland, March of the Living, Heritage, etc. You participate in that?
Yeah.
Here?
Yeah.
Okay. So we actually, our shul, we had a trip this past May, and our Avtacha came from Israel. Actually, it was a Polish hired. It was a Polish security guard non-Jew, fine. The question is, from Israel they bring Israelis. So now you have Israeli security people accompanying the young people like yourselves on Shabbos, carrying guns and radios with them. Okay? Well, they're carrying, and they're carrying muktzah. So the question is such a thing mutter? If there would be no departure from the hotel on Shabbos, there'd be no need to have this Jew carry on Shabbos. So that's the question that was raised. Is there any heter, whether in Israel or outside of Israel, to put people, the ma'avtachim, in this situation of Chilul Shabbat in order to accommodate these groups? So Rav Aviner, he's not entirely sanguine about it, but he says, Borur she'yev shalatir kamo be'eretz midin kibush. In Israel, it's different. Klomar, nochuchud regilashi emshech ha'kibush. He says, when you in Israel, you need a security presence because that's part of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. You can't abandon areas. You can't have free reign. You can't even have tourists roaming around without security. Even if it necessitates Jews being Mechal Shabbos, let's say De Rabbanon, in order to accommodate you. So he cites, he quotes actually Rav Shlomo Zalman, who brings up an interesting area. El ulay yesh latir midin ababa machteret. What's a din? A burglar breaks into your home. Reshus lak yesh lakol ahargo ben b'chol ben b'shabbos. Someone breaks into your house to steal from you. All right? Whether weekday or Shabbos. So ein omrim la'odah. We don't say to someone, guy breaks in on Shabbos, vater al kaspecho kedei limana mechil Shabbat merigat adam. All right, you kill someone on Shabbos, that's an isser. You handle your money on Shabbos. That's all. It's muktzah. So why would we think to say a baba machteres enters your home on Shabbos? I can't defend myself. I can't respond. I have to let him take my property because of Shabbos. Rav Shlomo Zalman said no. Lo matzano b'shum makom shechayv adam liten kesef l'rodfav kedei lahatzah chayim shel rodfim. Afilu imoneh bekachas balabais michol Shabbos anasa beheter mechamas pikuach nefesh. We don't ask people to forego their money, all right, or refrain from defending themselves because the act of defense is going to, of necessity, involve chil Shabbos. Mutal lahachnis atzmo lematzav shel nirdav v'chalel achakach beheter beheter. Part of it was rubbed out. Beheter esa Shabbos kedei l'mnoa gzeilos or tzichos b'shabbosos v'yamatovim. So that's what Shlomo Zalman Rav Aviner said. You can rely on that. L'gabe aftachas yudi chutz la'aretz hein l'gabe mitayel me'aretz because she'ena mechayim levat atfil asam v'tiyolom. You don't ask people to forego a normal life of going to shul to daven and walking in the streets because you're going to perhaps have to violate Shabbos to defend yourselves. Now, notice the extension here, that here it's not even a sofek of chil Shabbos, it's a vadai, because someone's walking around with carrying on Shabbos. That's a carmelist. Sometimes not a carmelist, but let's say it is. Still, asr rabbanon. Nonetheless, an asr rabbanon is going to be permitted in order to allow individuals to fulfill the obligations of Shabbos on the one of tefillah, and maybe even tiyul. Now he says, understand that what Shlomo Zalman said is a chiddush, because in fact the Magen Avraham, it's actually Shin Chavtes, Sifkot and Hei, not Shin Peites. Magen Avraham writes, no, if there's no threat to life, burglar breaks into your home, you have to move out on your money. Your money's muktzah. You can't kill him. Let him take your money. Even though Shlomo Zalman said, Yisrabu vaday ganav rav m'shabbos, nonetheless, Magen Avraham said, you have to allow it. So too, the Mishra Brura, where Shlomo Zalman said no. And the difference could be, of course, between the Golos and Eretz Yisrael. Now, it's unthinkable that you would allow your yeshuv, your standing, even your property to be assaulted by Rodfim on Shabbos, it's just unthinkable. In the exile, we have to be a little more deferential. But nonetheless, he says, HaMekel Yesh Amar Lismoch. But go to the next one, number five. It's even more practical. How do you ask a Jewish soldier, a religious soldier, the question number five, by the way, related to Park Canada, which is not far from here. You know, Park Ayalon, right on Route 3. I'm sure you could hike there. It's open on Shabbos. So now you're forcing religious soldiers, perhaps, to go and keep the park safe. Why don't we just close the park? This we don't do Chal Shabbos. No one is there. Fine. No, he says, that's not what we do. Preferably, you could try to avoid any people from Michal Shabbos, but nonetheless, if they're going to be there, then the Jewish state has an obligation to protect the hikers, and certainly if they're among them children, they don't know the difference anyway. They're not there because they want to be there, so they're innocent. Even though the people brought the Michal Shabbos, nonetheless, that is part of a normal life. So in fact, you see that midin, there's a din of milchama, and there's a din of self-defense, that even if there's no pressing need, there's no immediate situation, there's no matzav lefaneinu that would demand chil Shabbos, nonetheless would be allowed to be mechal Shabbos b'midrabanon in order to allow these normal activities and maintain the sovereignty of the state, or in the case of Poland, to allow the security people to accompany the young tourists. One other point about this area, which is related, on this side again, number eight. Here you have an interesting case. Chayal, he finished his work for the day. He is where he is. He wants to go back to the base, and there's a patrol car. It's going back to the base. Can he hitch a ride in the patrol car back to the base? All right. What do you say? So Harav answered that he can if there's no additional Shabbos, meaning the Jeep, say, or the APC, like Mash, is already stopped. He can hop on. There's no additional weight that's added, which in these vehicles like a APC is not going to be a problem. And he's not going outside the Tchum. Outside the Tchum is a different issue altogether. But he said he could even justify his ride if he becomes a volunteer to the Siyur, to the patrol that's happening. Because then rather than just be a passenger, it becomes in a sense on active duty, then he'd be able to go. But what you don't see again anywhere is that there's some problem being a passenger in any of these situations. All right, I want to address the problem in a moment. Yes?
Just a question about him being able to volunteer.
So yes.
It's kind of strange, though, to be able to volunteer and that being your reasoning for, giving yourself into this situation of a possible Michal Shabbos.
Well, he's on patrol, so volunteer means if there is an unfortunate incident, he'd be able to respond. Lemaisa, he'd respond anyway, even just a passenger.
Yeah, so
but this way, it's as if he activates himself for duty on the ride home, rather than being a mere passenger. But if he wants to be just a mere passenger, he'd be allowed to do that also, as long as he's within the trum, and there's no additional weight that he's carrying. All right, so what do you do at a ball? You dance. Can you go to a ball on Shabbos and dance to music? This is an interesting source that for an event that is almost non-existent today. Look at number 12. Yesh matir lomar la'akum l'nagim b'kleishir b'chupos. It's Mechaber said it's permissible to have non-Jews play music at a wedding Friday night. Or dinner, the suitors Friday night. This actually relates to an interesting circumstance. One of the most common times for weddings in Europe used to be Friday afternoon. Get married Friday afternoon. Why is that? Because the people were poor. the nicest meal of the week was Shabbos. You want to have a nice meal at a wedding. So you make the nice meal, Friday night, Leil Shabbos, that's the meal. So they'd get married. But there's a din of Simchas Chosim Ekalo, which is defined as Nigun Varikud. So you see, the Mechaber says, Brahma agrees, you could have non-Jews playing music. Oh, you could say it's only for Tzarech Mitzvah, I understand that. But in principle, the fact that non-Jews are playing, it's not going to be an issue. Of course, we don't do it anymore today. Yes?
Would you also be able to say Onik Shabbos for that?
Or? Onik Shabbos meaning it enhances Onik Shabbos, or?
Yeah.
If I had to sit at a bull on Shabbos, it would impair my Onik Shabbos, but who knows? Could be. Could be. The truth is, what I heard was that they had... it was later at night. I was here, so I don't know all the details, but they had, in fact, they made Shabbos in the, I think they were in a hotel already, they made Shabbos, had a suit of Shabbos, and then afterwards they went down to the party. So here's the question, here was the caveat. There's a lot of things we mentioned, the tiyul, going to shul, it's all tzorach mitzvah. The question is, must they go all together? All right, what if they didn't go? So that's really my caveat. Was it necessary to go? Was it important enough to go? How would it look if they didn't go? And that, in fact, I can't decide, because that's fact sensitive. And that's the type of fact that the posek would have to answer. He would have to weigh all those considerations. What I did hear is that they preferred to walk. It wasn't that long a walk from the hotel to their home. But the Secret Service ruled it out for security reasons. And they were accosted on a plane a few weeks ago. And there were protests and riots in Washington that day. So, it's very prudent that they did not walk. But nonetheless, the question, will they have to go altogether? Well, if they would be able to make a cogent case why it's important for them to go, or it would send a bad impression if they did not go, then... it's understandable. Like I said, it's not unreasonable. And you do have circumstances, the Gemara mentions, where things were permitted to individuals because of Shukar of Lamalchus that would not be permissible to other individuals. The classic case you find at the very end of Maseches Sota of Avtulus ben Reuven. They permitted him, Lesaper Komi, to cut his hair in... Roman style, meaning shaved in the front with the longer hair in the back. So for Jews, it's prohibited because of Chukos Sa'akum, but none of them permit him to do it because he had to be comfortable in Roman society. Conversely, they had to be comfortable with him. He didn't want to look different than the others, and Chazal permitted it. So you see, Chukos Sa'akum in this case, it's an Isra'bonon. But they permit it to him because he's Karv L'Malchus. Would this be a similar din of Karv L'Malchus? I don't know, but it could be. Again, that's the hesitation that I have. So what's the big taram, the tumult that took place, where they were attacked so viciously? I grant a lot of Amaretz is involved. There's no question about it. But I think the real problem is something the Gemara mentions, and it's a classic case, because of the sensitivity that we have about cars. And it became one of the defining markers between Orthodoxy and the non-Orthodox movement. So you have in number 13, the bottom left, the Gemara introduces to us the concept of Halacha Vein Morin Kain, Ibayilahu, Shamashin HaKavua B'Ved Mishcha Maus. The question the Gemara is asking is about Tiltul Haner, can you read Lor Haner? And if you have a Shamus, will he do it? If he's not, he does during the week, not during the week. But so Rav permitted it, and Rav's a little rubbed out. The Iker is missing here. Amar Rav, Halacha Vein Morin Kain. What's Halacha Vein Morin Kain? So Rashi says in 14, Halacha Demutar, Mikar Din, it's allowed. Because he's going to know not to be Metaltel, but others shouldn't. If they see him even close to it, they'll be more Heta for themselves. And the same circumstances that pertain to him don't pertain to the others. They morin kain shel yizalzalu. You don't want people seeing someone do something that is questionable, because then they'll be more ahead there for themselves. See, here's the other thing, which troubled me no end. How do we find out that they're taking a car from the inaugural ball back home on Friday night? Because some guy in Israel is active in politics, blurred out to the media. All right? If not for that, no one would know. No one would care. No one would be harassing them or hounding them or even inquiring about the area. And it's just so interesting that most of the people attacking them are Mechal Shabbos in their own right. But they're just trying to bring them down. Hey, he's not really religious, they're not observant, they're not modern, orthodox, nothing at all. The fact is not so. So they're not the ones who publicized it, because that's a halacha v'moren kein. It's a din in Zilzel Shabbos, because the Hamon Amma, basically Amma Artsim. The Amma Artsim, they don't know anything. They will not be able to distinguish between being a passenger, a passive act, in a limousine, which makes no... Your presence, it's so heavy, it's bulletproof. It makes no... Your presence makes no difference to the weight of the vehicle, and it's being driven by non-Jews. It's done for you, but it's done not because you want it. You're done because the Secret Service insists on it. It's hard to understand, again, because of the reputation, the aura that exists around using any type of conveyances on Shabbos. But it's really not true. And people understand the ways of Torah, understand that as well. Rabbi Wein always used to say that in the 1920s, Rav Shimon Shkop, heard of him? One of Chaim's famous Talmidim. Rav Shimon Shkop said that when the Jewish state is reestablished, this is in the 1920s, so it was 20, 30 years ahead, we'll be able to have public transportation on Shabbos. Buses. All right. How? See, a bus will run the same principle of a Shabbos elevator. Driven by a non-Jew, makes regular stops, get on, get off, etc. It's all true. What's the problem? Okay. What?
Okay.
No, you don't have to pay. Make it free. Like the first bus from the Kotel every Motzei Shabbos is free also, because people don't have money. No, free. No, the only problem is people will not be... If you had a nation of Talmid Chachamim, you'd understand what the principles that apply are. But when most Jews are ignorant of Torah, they'll say, oh... You can ride a bus, I'll ride a car, I'll drive my car. What's the difference? You're getting from point A to point B. So why can't I just get the way I want to? Why ride public transportation? He said, people can't make chilukim. The time will come, kimol ardzeas Hashem, kamayim loim mechasim, people will know. And the whole atmosphere will be different. The whole way we relate to halacha will be different. The way we apply halacha to a modern state will be different. Because there'll be no fear that if we're matter something that's really mutter, people will extrapolate from that to commit isurim as well. We'll have no fear of that at all. Until then, though, we have to wait. We have to make these chilukim. And of course, halach ve'morin kein is a reason not to publicize it. For that matter, it's a reason not to give a shir about it, because the people can hear, they think it will be more ahead to themselves as well, but it's not true. I just read the other day, someone wrote another vicious piece against them, had they're bending the rules of Shabbos. And the guy's a Mechal Shabbos and Amaretz Gomor, but all he knows, car equals Isser. The word he used, bending the rules. They're not bending the rules. They're applying the rules. So not even them. Whoever was the posek was applying the rules. That's different. That's different. So again, what they did is not unreasonable, with the caveat that they have to make a compelling case why it was necessary, important to go. With that, I hope that we don't have to discuss their Shmiras HaMitzvos ever again. Let them be. It's none of our business between them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes?
You solved the problem in Tchon.
Yeah. No, not in this case.
Why not? You're going outside of Tchon.
Where?
Weren't they leaving?
The bull?
Going? Oh, there's nothing in between, I guess.
No, it's a city. It's Washington. It's probably a mile and a half to their home, but it's all one city. The tchum is measured by outside the city. You have to leave the city limits. No, tchum wasn't an issue here at all. If they're going back to New York, that might be an issue. They're just going back, it was like a 5-7 minute ride to wherever they were living. All right, there being no other questions, we'll adjourn. I thank you very much for your kind attention.
Sure.